بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم was the most perfect of the Anbiya. We will not say for a moment that any Nabi was imperfect, but Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم was most perfect. All were perfect, but he was above all. Then as Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم was most perfect, then his Sahaba and his companions were also the most perfect. And in order for his deen to be complete, Sahaba Ikram had offered themselves, offered their integrity, offered their blood, offered their wealth, offered their lives, and all this was just so that the deen must become alive. One Sahabi comes to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says that, Ya Rasulullah, my love for you is unimaginable. Many a times I'm alone at home and the thought of your blessed personality crosses my mind and I feel totally restless until I don't have a glance at your Mubarak face. I feel very, very uneasy. Death is a certainty. It will separate us. As far as the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is concerned, then he is the highest of the high in the creation of Allah Ta'ala. You can't think of a creation that is as high as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He is the highest of the high. So obviously, he will be pushed to the highest ranks in the presence of Allah Ta'ala in Jannat. And as far as myself, then firstly, I don't know whether I will get into Jannat. And even if I do get into Jannat, then will I get to see you there? And if I don't get to see you in Jannat, then what's the use of Jannat? I can't see my beloved. I feel this feeling of uneasiness, then what's the use of Jannat when I'm not able to see you? Nabi Sam was silent for that moment, because Rasulullah doesn't speak of his own. Until the wahi had come down, مَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. Those that are obedient to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they are in the company of the favored. Amongst the Anbiya, Siddiqeen, martyrs and the righteous. It brought a lot of comfort to the Sahabi. Now, it is the ardent desire, any Muslim, any believer, he wants to be in that company. For a matter of fact, if, for example, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith rahmatullahi was in Hajj or in Umrah, then we all will want to be in the same camp, the same entourage. No matter, however, even we wear the shoes, but we say, at least we are with a blessed personality. And when we are with the best blessed personality, then we also get something. But we are with him. And we'll talk about it with so much of cheer, so much of happiness. You know, I went for Hajj, and you know who I was with, in whose company I was in. So you'll feel so blessed, just on account of the company. And this company is not a small thing, it's a great thing. Allah Ta'ala says, فَدْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَدْخُلِي جَنَّتِي. First, in the righteous, then into Jannat. So the company is so great that first the company of the righteous, then into Jannat. As a matter of fact, say you are in Umrah or in Hajj and you are there all alone. No person knows you and you know nobody. Can you last there for more than a week? You'll find it very difficult. Although the Mubarak precincts, everything is there. But there's no company, you don't know anybody, nobody knows you. And you're doing your, getting your food, you're getting your rest, but will you feel comfortable? So even in a blessed place like Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara, but you need the right company. The pious of the past, the thing that they emphasized most on was company. Right? After having the right heart, after having a clear, clean heart, then the thing that they emphasized most on was the right company. Shaitan got rejected, and amongst the reason for his rejection was his heart was corrupt. Whenever he fell in sajda, prior to his being rejected, he went into sajda with that intention that this position of deputyship is coming up and I may be selected for that. See? So the sajda, the prostration was for some other motive. He had some other agenda. And his heart was corrupt. One person came to Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and he gave a gift. So I'm still worried now, the gift is on one side. And then he says to Mawlana, ke mujhe bhi kuch murid murad bana dete, you know. You should also make me murid and give me khilafat that I can also pass on the same silsila to others. So Mawlana says, have you come for this intention? He says, I've come for this intention. So from the very beginning, the intention is leadership, recognition, leadership. I must be recognized, I must be distinguished, I must be known. Then this goes totally against the grain of servitude. One is servitude, one is humility and submission. So this goes totally against submission, humility and servitude. From the very beginning, you are going there for recognition, that you must be known, you must be served, you must be respected. But Isa alayhi salam was traveling with one of his company, one of his companions, called them the Hawari. So one person saw Isa alayhi salam and he saw his companion. Obviously, when you see a person like a Nabi or something, you must get impressed, you must get affected. No matter what a sharabi kababi you are, but you saw a Nabi and you got some good in your heart, there is some level of submission, there is some level of purity in your heart, then you must get affected. Mard-e-haqqani ka peshani ka noor kahan chup sakta hai peshe zi shuur. Mard-e-haqqani ki peshani ka noor kahan chup sakta hai peshe zi shuur. The brightness and the glory that is on the face of a righteous person, it can't remain concealed. He'll try to conceal himself, but it will not remain concealed. He'll joke, he'll talk, he'll be with you, but he's doing this just as a cover. You may leave him, let him carry on. But now the moment he begins to expose himself, then he doesn't have that very special relationship with Allah Ta'ala. He wanted that relationship and he wanted it to be interrupted. He didn't want it to be interrupted. Now he's become exposed, so that relationship is becoming interrupted. So Isa alayhi salam is with this Hawari, and one person, Sharabi Kababi, depths of sin, and he sees this, he's impressed. And then he says, makes dua to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, give me the tawfiq, give me the blessings to be joining up with Isa alayhi salam. Now this Hawari, he overheard the dua. When he overheard the dua, so he also makes dua, Allah Ta'ala, such a person, let him never be with me. So Allah Ta'ala's response, answer came from the heavens, that both duas are answered. This person, he felt very embarrassed and ashamed of his doings, his works, his evils. And he made dua that he must be blessed with the company of Isa alayhi salam. So his answer, his dua is answered. So you got the company. And this person made dua out of pride and out of arrogance that he must never join up with me. So you will never join up with this righteous company, you're going to Jahannam. Your dua is also answered. And his dua is also answered. So shaitan had that evil within his heart. In spite of the company of the malaika that he was enjoying, he got rejected. So that shows that the heart has to have some good for the company also to be effective. Here, the company of the malaika. Can you think of something greater than the company of the malaika? Where he missed out was, where he lost out was, he felt whatever he was doing was of his own doing. He did not consider it to be the gift of Allah Ta'ala. Any type of good that you are doing, charitable work, dini work, jihad, whatever you are doing, it is by the grace of Allah Ta'ala that you are doing it. If he shifts his grace, then you're gone. Nothing you are, what are you, what's left of you? So he couldn't understand, he didn't register this, that what's in me is purely and purely the gift of Allah Ta'ala. So that caused the ruin. That is why this dua, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, it is a treasure from the treasure of Jannat. From the treasure of the throne, the treasure of Jannat. It's a very precious dua. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. What you are saying, Allah Ta'ala, I am a total non-entity. Whatever good, it's by your permission. Grace to leave out evil by your permission. I am totally a non-entity. Helpless, useless, absolute non-entity. So whatever good I am doing, Allah, is only by your grace. I have left out a wrong only by your grace, not of my own doing. So what we are talking about is the Sahabi and his concern, right? And the revelation of this verse. And then I explain about the importance of company. So you look into the mutaqaddimi, into the past, and they emphasized a lot on company. A person is coming to Damascus for the first time. So the dua is making, Lama anis wahshati warham hurbati wayassirli jaleesan salihan. Allah Ta'ala, expel my discomfort. I mean, foreign land, I'm a new person here. So I'll feel unfamiliar, so expel this. Allah, show mercy upon me because I'm a foreigner, I'm a stranger. And grant me a good companion. And the next moment I see Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, and I got the blessings of being in his company. Great alim of the time, great sahabi of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And there I'm blessed to be in his company. But the point to be noted here is, as he comes into a foreign territory, then the first thing that he's looking for is not a house. He's not looking for any material venture. He's not looking for any material abode. Then the first thing that he's asking for, he's begging Allah Ta'ala for, is the right company. Because it is the company that shapes your mind, makes you think in a certain way. What makes you think? It's the company, it's the influences that are around you that shape your mind. You got the right type of people, then they will shape you rightly. And if you got the wrong type of people, then they will shape you accordingly. Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah says that one of his murids was a very high ranking officer, very high position he had. And the one that was working for him was his neighbor, the officer now, the high ranking officer. And his worker was living next to him. So when they are gone to work, so the neighbor's wife will come into the house. She'll come and they'll talk, whatever. So after a lot of insistence, this worker's wife, she says, I've been to your house so many times, why can't you pay me a visit as well? So anyway, as per her request, she may feel that, you know, I'm not coming to her house because she may feel that I consider her to be inferior. So she said, all right, I need to return the gift. She's also visited me, I need to return it. Now she went, and the night that the officer in charge now, the night that he came back, now his wife is showing attitude. Oh, he's talking to her, she's not listening properly, she's not showing a straight face, and she's being evasive, she's avoiding, she's not showing the type of love and hospitality that she used to be showing. Now somehow he had to pamper her, talk to her nicely, and eventually got talking to what happened. Have I done anything wrong? Said, no. See, this person is working for you. But you know what he's given to his wife? See, from the wardrobe, from one end to the other end, there's one dress and one abaya from one side to the other. You're from here. This is from Dubai, and this is from Holland, and this is from Hollywood. And from one end to the other, she's got so many abayas. And look at the dresses that she's got. You know. And me, I am the wife of the officer that's in charge, that's above this person here. I've still got the same scraps that you bought for me in my wedding day. Besides that, what did you buy for me? Then I went to see her kitchen and she's got appliances and whatever she's got. And what did you get for me? And then she's got the car of her own. And she's driving a BMW. What have I got? Now that one meeting had brought about a whole somersault in this woman. Capsized just one meeting. You see this companionship, company, just one meeting, and the whole tabiat has just changed around. Where she was an obedient, obliging, submissive, very humble woman, and one meeting, one person she's meeting that is not with the right temperament, and the whole mind goes off. This meeting, and the second thing that goes wrong in us is carrying tales. Sometimes this carrying of tales, sometimes it is like we meet people and we talk, right? This person, that person. Sometimes it is that through the media we hear, media carries tales. A lot of panchayat carries on the media. Lots and lots. Right? If that's not in the media, then it's in the magazines. Whether it's Islamic or non-Islamic, but this the tales that are carried. And those tales that are carried from one to the other, that it also shapes your mind, changes your mind. You've been thinking so nicely and clean, pure, and then suddenly you just had a somersault. Whole thinking has gone off. Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi had come to Saharanpur, right? Mawlana Raipuri Sahib Rahmatullahi is there, the Sheikh Rahmatullahi is there. Now you can think about it, but the spiritual kings are there, kings of the world at that time. Talking about 60 years ago now, those that were the spiritual kings, known as the spiritual kings, they are all seated in one line. And it is a time when, you're talking about now, before the 1940s, so that means over 70 years ago, right? Not 60, over 70 years ago. So it was this India-Pakistan issue, right, where there was that partition. And in this whole partition, the ulama were divided. Hazrat Thani Sahib Rahmatullahi was of one opinion. Hazrat Madani Sahib Rahmatullahi was of another opinion. Both were working towards the same goal. But the operation may have been different. He is looking for a different avenue, and he is looking at a different avenue. The goal is the same, but he feels that we should work like this, and he feels that you should be working like this. Hazrat Madani Sahib Rahmatullahi, his opinion was that you see the amount of damage and problem that the English have brought, according to their own writings. Some writing he's got there. In a matter of about 15 or 20 years, right? They brought so much of trouble, constraints, poverty in India that approximately in 20 years, in the whole India, there were about 50 million people that died. Now that's all reported, all contained in the books that are recorded by the English. Roshan Mustaqbil, Bright Future. It's recorded in this book. 50 million people died in about 20 years. So this economic crisis they brought, it was orchestrated, it was planned, and they wanted to do this. mass disaster, 50 million. You're talking about over 70 years ago. So what I felt, well, this is the level of oppression. Everybody is getting affected here. Then we need to see who is the perpetrator and get him out. So in order to get him out, we will need numbers. Because the world is operating with numbers, like majority, etc. So we got the majority and everybody feels the same. Then we have got grounds to chase them out. Right? Since seeing that we are the minority, the Muslim is the minority, and they are the majority, so we need the number to take them out. Like how an intruder gets into your house, right? And he's causing an havoc in your house, right? So you will call a kafir police to get the intruder out, won't you call? So Maulana needed the assistance to get these people out. Another more, Thani Sahib Rahmatullah says that in getting the assistance of the non-Muslim, of the Hindu, it mustn't be that we become too thick with them. If you want to become very thick with them, then we'll begin to make compromises. We will begin to attend their Diwali and we'll expect them to come to our Eid, right? We'll have to go to their temples and expect them to come to our masjids. So, the common person will get lost in this whole thing. But both felt that we should be working for the cause. The modus operandi may be different. Here he's looking at it differently, he's looking at it differently. But they know that this is wrong. What's going on? And both intentions are right. The intention is to get out the zalim. The intention is to get out the perpetrator. Both intentions are right. When you have a conflict, and you have a contradiction of views, then the senior most people, their hearts will be clean, clear, as crystal. In the heat of the commotion, Al-Mu'ala Madani Sahib Rahmatullah has to come to Thana Bhuvan. Al-Mu'ala Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah requests Al-Mu'ala Madani Rahmatullah to perform the namaz. Now, Al-Mu'ala Madani Sahib Rahmatullah, he excuses himself and he says, maybe baze logo ko meri imamat se nagawari hogi. Because we have a difference of opinion, both me and you, so some persons will not feel comfortable with me leading the namaz. That's Muhammad Madani Sahib Rahmatullah is excusing himself. The Muhammad replies to him, he says to him, that person that feels uncomfortable performing namaz behind you, then in Thana Bhuvan there are a lot of masjids spaced nearby. 100 meters apart you will find another masjid, you can carry on. Baqi hamari saadat se hum kyu mahroom reh jaye? This is our fortune. You got a man, a great person, great personality like this. Why should we be deprived because of that person? He must go and find his own place. After the namaz, the Muhammad announces that I have a great hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala that for the one sajda that we performed behind was Muhammad Madri Ramzai, all our namaz have been accepted. You see how, what regards, they got a difference of opinion. But personally, their hearts are good for each other. Their hearts are clean, good, perfect for each other. There's no malice. There's no, absolutely no filth in the hearts. Hearts absolutely clean. See, I showed you shaitanic. The heart was corrupt. Here, there is a difference of opinion, but the hearts are perfect. There's no malice, there's no dirt, there's no filth. Now, in all this commotion, when there's a commotion, when there's a contradiction of views amongst the ulama, talking of the righteous ulama, right, then hashya nashin log bahut hote hain. You have the people on the sides. In the slang word they say sidekicks. So you have the people on the sides. The people on the side, the sidekicks, they wo kisse ko barha karke bayan karte hain. There's a lot of exaggerations. Yeah, like this, and he did this, and he did this, and he said this. Because they want excitement, they want entertainment. If they're going to say the facts clearly, plainly, they're not going to get that type of entertainment. They're not going to get that type of attraction. So they have to do with a lot of exaggeration. Yeah, he did this, and he did this, and he did this. And really paint the person for them to get that type of reception. So this whole commotion is taking place in India. People are taking sides. And whilst people are taking sides, then one party is running the other party down. Sometimes openly, sometimes to posters and how it happens. It's a big political thing, the whole of India, a couple of hundred millions at that time, and you can imagine what a big commotion. Small little election takes place here, how much of noise there is. But it's such a small population. Yeah, you're talking of hundreds of millions, and you can imagine what commotion. Furthermore, Muhammad Ilyas Sahib, rahmatullahi, he's seated there, and he hears about this thing. He's working with the public. Tabligh Jamaat is working, wudu, with the public they are working. So he gets information across the board what's going on. So Muhammad makes a comment, and he says, Fuyus ki na yaha par kami hai, na waha par kami hai. As far as barakat and blessings, then there is no deficiency of blessings and barakat here, Thanabon, nor is there any deficiency of any barakat and blessings in Hazrat Madani Sahib Rahmatullahi, in Deoband. They're full, they're loaded with blessings. He's also loaded, and he's also loaded. Lekin Mu'tariz, yahan se bhi mahroom hai, aur wahan se bhi mahroom hai. But the one that criticizes, carries tales, etc., slanders, then he is deprived on this end, he is deprived on that end, both ends. He's lost out here, he lost out there as well, both ends he's lost out. Now, this is the story of the storyteller. His night and day, his business, his occupation is to carry stories. From here to here, from there to there. The hadith warns about this. Shirarul Ibad. Al-Masha'una bin Namima. Worst of peoples. Who is that worst person who carries tales? Idhar se udhar lagata hai, udhar se idhar lagata hai. He carries tales from one end to the other end. The simple thing is, when you hear a story, just keep it as buried and forget it. Sometimes you are over-exaggerating in your own mind. He said this, I'm measuring him for every word that he said. I measure him in every word. I look at him with a very fine comb. So you'll find every reason to nail the person down. And then when you're going to be explaining this to the next person, then he also will feel a little bit reserved. Now, the way you are taking it, you are being too serious. You're exaggerating, you're overplaying it. When you're overplaying it, then that person is also human. When he's human, then he's going to feel also, he's going to feel a distance between him and that person. So, shirarul ibad, the worst of peoples, al-masha'una bin namima, that carry tales. That is why Nabi Sam expressed his concern. La yuballighun, when nobody must carry tales about my ummati to me. Ana arju an akhruja ilaykum wa ana salimus sadr. I wish to come out in your presence whilst my heart is absolutely clean. Impressing upon us that in the azwaja mutaharat, there is no carrying of tales. They don't carry tales. In the respected wives, the mothers of the believers, then they don't carry tales. So when they don't carry tales, when Nabi Sam is coming out of his house, his heart is absolutely clean. There is no blemish, there is no stain in his heart. Absolutely clean. So like when he comes out of his house with a very clean heart, then he desires that when he comes into his home, he's coming in with a good heart, clean heart. But you're going to be carrying tale about this person here, and that person, and the third person. Then obviously, man is a man, though he's a Nabi, but he's a man. And he's going to be affected with what you say. So I don't want this storytelling. The shirarul ibad. Nabi Sam says that the worst of people. Masha'una bin namima. Al-mufarriquna bayna al-ahibba. They create a disunity, discord. They break up the friendship. There was a friendship in existence, but now you carry the tale about him. And perhaps your intention was to get more attention. So when you want to get more attention, now you have to carry a tale about the next person so that in your mind, you will feel that, well, he is now more attentive towards me and he's broken away from that person. Al-mufarriquna bayna al-ahibba al-bahuna al-bura' al-anat. People that are innocent, and innocent people, now you want to break them. Why? You want to carry tales, you want to make false allegations. But if you could hide the thing Just cover the thing, forget the thing, don't report it. Even to your elder, you don't report it because it doesn't relate to you. He did something, alright, a stupid thing that he did, forget the thing, just hide the thing. After all, doesn't Allah Ta'ala hide our faults? I say this repeatedly, that if Allah Ta'ala were to expose our faults from the time that we know ourselves, 13, 14, we come of age, till now, will we want to be alive for one day? We will feel so miserable that we will want that the earth opens up and we just sink into the earth, rather than our sins and our mistakes being exposed to people. So Allah Ta'ala covers our faults, then aren't they the servants of Allah Ta'ala? When they are the servants of Allah Ta'ala, then don't they deserve that same type of respect that we require for ourselves? So this storytelling, tales carrying, gossiping, ye Musalman ki aadat nahi hai. Generally, this storytelling, when it happens, how it happens with two classes of persons. One is, he's made that his business, as though he feels, no, I am complacent, I have done enough. Now, these people need to correct themselves. But as far as I am concerned, I have done enough. So they need to correct themselves, therefore I am carrying tales about them. So it brings in great complacency in you. Right? You will not strive afterwards, because you're always looking out for others' weaknesses. So there is no room for you to make any progress. Right? See this carrying tales, right? And how it puts you backwards. And on the other end, that person that is too concerned about himself, he doesn't have the time to carry tales. I got so much of mine to do. I got my qazas to do. I got my zikrs to do. My Quran Sharif tilawat to do. I got so many things on my head. I don't have time for this thing here. But when you have reserved yourself for this type of storytelling, then you won't have time for anything else. It's carry tale about this person, about that person, about the third person. Then you will not make progress. Your progress have been impeded. You have stopped your progress. So forget what the world is doing. One buzruk, he sent his murid back home when you're going to work there. So that murid came after a month or so. And he says, oh, that, you know, that town of mine now is going backwards. It's getting rotten apart. It's breaking apart. Oh, there's some type of shameful activities taking place. So the buzruk shouted him. He said, I sent you home to worry about yourself, or to worry about the whole town, what he's doing, what that person is doing, what the third person is doing. So you close your eyes to what they are doing, you do your work. What you need to know, am I doing, main apna kaam kar raha hu ya nahi, am I doing my work or not? You're going to consume what he's doing, and what the third person is doing, what the fourth person is doing, and then in the process, you will neglect yourself. Hazrat Alim Asab Rahmatullahi, he says, there was one buzruk in those days in Sham, Syria, you know. And they had so much of respect for him that in his presence, كَأَنَّ عَلَىٰ رُؤُوسِهِمْ أَطَّيْرِ. It was like a pin drop silence. There should be such silence and respect. Now one day the murid is seeing that there is a lot of commotion, you know, there is not that type of respect that is being shown, a lot of noise from one end to the other end. So the khadim, he is holding the sheikh in respect. But on that day, now he couldn't hold it. He said, you know, normally we're not used to this. In your presence, there's a lot of silence, there's a lot of calmness, there's a lot of peace. But today, there's a lot of commotion, there's a lot of noise. Worse than the noise that you hear in a fish market. In a bazaar, in a hall, in a mall, what type of noise that you hear there? This is worse than that. What's happening? The buzruk just pointed towards his knee. I haven't understood. What is this commotion? Again, he pointed out. Just towards his knee. The third time, the fourth time, the same thing was repeated. So he says, can you please explain yourself? He says, you see, I have left out my routine. What I'm supposed to be doing, like we're supposed to be doing talim in the house, zikr, Quran Sharif, dua, right? Making mashwara, making muzakara, talking about some deeni thing, right? We're supposed to be doing these things at home. But last night I couldn't complete my routine. Because I had a cramp in the knee and I couldn't complete my routine. As a result of me not completing my routine, the whole house is gone off. Everything is gone off. Why? the cable that was bringing all that goodness, that has cut off. That has snapped. When that has snapped now, then everything is going haywire. It's like if the cable has snapped from the madrasa, right? Then you'll have one, two candles, but you'll get everything working. The geyser is working, the stove is working, the freezer, everything will go off. So the right thing is to get the cable corrected and connected. Now you're just putting a small candle here and there, it'll bring some light, but it won't remove the darkness completely. It won't remove the problem completely. So the right thing is get that connection right. And that connection will be right if you bring back the routine. When you bring back that routine, then you will gain the assistance of Allah Ta'ala. When that assistance of Allah Ta'ala comes, then the whole house will function well. Now, imagine in a community, right, in a people, one person, right, one khawas, right, one of the good persons, he left out his routine and brought such a big commotion. If so many people leave out their ma'amulat and their routine, right, then what type of commotion, confusion it will bring? If just one person, if he left out the routine, he left out the ma'amulat, and he brought so much of a corruption, so much of a commotion, then you can imagine if a whole host of people, they left out that amount of Quran Sharif, that zikr, that tilawat, whatever. Right? So can you imagine the type of commotion, confusion that it will result in? Now, when there is a confusion, there is a problem, we're trying to fix it up in this way, that way, put candles. But you go and correct the thing the right way. The cable, that cable is snapped. And you need to put that cable right. The greater thing, the greater picture, is to get yourself right. To get the right values within yourself. To get the right values within yourself and to work towards the right values. That was the greater thing. Correct values, the right values, that was the thing that was supposed to be brought within you and within the people, how much you can influence, right? That was the right thing. Now, the picture that we have got of Islam today is, Islam is a religion of power, might, glory, we have to have numbers, we have to have artillery, we have to have a voice. So that's the picture that we have got of Islam. The Quran Sharif gives us a total different story. The Quran Sharif, the story that it gives us, is the story that what our ancient ulama-i kiram gave, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ إِمْ مَكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَوْضِ أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهَوْا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. That if we give them that power and the glory, what they will do? They will establish namaz. They will show kindness, zakat, etc. They will show kindness to people. They will enjoin the good. They will discourage and forbid the evil. Same what we see in the Khanqa or in Jamaat. What it does? It establishes namaz. It encourages kindness. It enjoins the good and forbids the evil. So this is the whole picture of Islam. The Tatar had invaded India, had invaded Syria, invaded Iraq, etc. Iraq, Iran, Syria, etc. Around the 4th or the 3rd century, right? And there were approximately 1 million loss of lives. The whole land had taken control. Fire worshippers or whatever they have been. So one person, one righteous person, he is out in the wilderness and the king is with his entire entourage, they are going out on a hunting spree. Kings, what else they got? To entertain themselves, they've seen all life now, to entertain now, go behind one deer, whatever else. Some deer must come around. So that's the only life, nothing else in their lives. So as the king is going, he comes across one person. So he calls him. Now he sees him. From the face he can make out that he's a Muslim. He's got a beard, the way he's dressed up. And he sees the person is a Muslim. So in a way of insult, in a way of despising him, running him down, this prince, not the king, the prince says to this righteous person that this beard of yours, is this better or this dog of mine is better? He's insulting, is this dog better or this beard of mine is better? So this righteous person keeps quiet. So the prince asks him, but why, what are you keeping quiet for? Why are you silent? Said, well, I'm thinking. What are you thinking about? He says, if I die on iman, then obviously this beard of mine is better than this dog. But if I die without iman, then this dog is millions of times better than my beard. So this, it knocked the heart of the prince. It really affected him. You see, he was speaking, and as I say, first is the heart, and then is the company. So the heart was good. And he said it with feelings, with sincerity, said it. When he said it with sincerity and with feelings, it affected the heart of the prince. So the prince realized, now, the rule is my father, and I won't be able to make any changes now. But he says to this righteous person, see, the day that you hear that I am in power, you hear that I am in control, I've taken the seat of my father, because I am the successor to the throne, right? Then you must come to me, and I will make a change, inshallah. So anyway, the time passed. In the meanwhile, this Buzrug, he passed away. Before he could pass away, he made a bequest to his son, that you see, this is the promise that the prince has made. And Islam needs to be established. And Islam is more the value than the power. We are thinking about power, we think about our glory and power, etc., wealth and might. So, Islam is more about the value than about the power and the might. And this is the amanat that I've got. This amanat has to be turned, has to be brought. Alright. It's the bequest of the father. I need to get it back to the king. Now how do I do it? So he comes right near the palace and he says, the only thing I can do is call out the azan. I heard more or less the king has died and the prince has come into the place. So he called out the azan. When he called out the azan, the king summoned some of his men to go and call that person that is shouting like this. Who are you? Gave the whole intro, this what happened. So he declared in front of the entire audience, I also ashadu an la ilaha illallah, ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, and I declare it to be the religion of the state. So what is counting? What counts is, have you got the right value? Are you working towards the right value? Have you entrenched it? Have you established within yourself? Or only you looking for the glory? Now, this is where we have gone wrong. And seriously, the Muslim over the world, right? We feel, no, Islam is just a name. Islam is just a cover, right? Islam is just might, right? That's what we think. Someone thinks, no, Islam is Islamic numbers. We need so much of numbers, right? And all these things are in its place. We don't say that they are not good. But that's not the goal. Not the number, not the might, not the glory. That's not the goal. It is good. We will like that. But that's not the goal. The real goal, the actual goal, is this Islamic true values. In Darul Umm Deoband, there was some difference, right? There were some differences, serious differences, in the beginning now, over 100 years ago. Al-Mawad Tanwi Sahib Rahmatullahi had come up. So he wrote a letter discreetly to his Ustad, Al-Mawad Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi, that this is a serious problem that is carrying on in Deoband, Madrasa, and there is a fear that the whole Madrasa will close up. And the fear, the whole problem is around, centered about including one of the Nawabs into the Shura. Wealthy, affluent person, and he must be included into the Shura. So the whole town is up in arms that he must be included into the Shura. Why is he excluded? So, there is a fear that the whole Madrasa will close because of this. So why don't we do this? We just include him into the Mashwara. And it means we will be the majority, and we'll be in the majority, we will decide accordingly. In the meanwhile, the whole commotion will just subside. So Al-Mawad Gangohi Rahmatullahi's reply came, and he said, you see, Allah Ta'ala will question us, that have we acted rightly and correctly? Right? The person that was suitable, did we appoint him? Because he suited for the position, or because of our convenience that we have appointed him. Remember that the madrasa is not the goal. The goal is the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. The goal is the values that Allah Ta'ala, as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, has passed on to us to work for that. not for the establishment of this building. The building is a secondary thing. We need the building. We don't say we don't need it. But in effect, it is a secondary thing. We made that the goal, and the teachings, the values, this jewels that Allah Ta'ala has passed on to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and to us, we forgot that and worried about the enclosure, worried about the casing. We lost the process. We need the casing for the protection. But what is required? What is the goal? It's the jewel. Madrasa rahe so rahe. Madrasa remains, it remains. Otherwise, if we looked for the pleasure of Allah, we have got it. We didn't include him because he's not capable. But he's not capable, we didn't include him. And if we included him in spite of him not being capable, then Allah will question us that he wasn't a capable person. Why did you include him into the Mashura? We lost out then.